This season, Toyota Racing is looking for jugglers.
Aha!
Not the ones who toss balls or rings. Fans that can juggle the rigors of a 10-month-long season across many different racing circuits.
Well, what if I added knives?
What if you added GR Cup, Formula Drift, and off-road racing? If you can juggle it all, then we want you. Be part of the action at toyota.com/racing. Toyota, let's go places. Formula Drift is a registered trademark of Formula Drifts Holdings, LLC.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's go racing here at Knoxville.
Only the best go three of
it is showtime at Williams Grove Speedway.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, here at Eldora Speedway, it's showtime.
The best you've come for a rip, often imitated, never duplicated, the greatest show on dirt, the World of Outlaws.
It's time to sit back, relax and enjoy, because ladies and gentlemen, it's showtime!
Set to do battle for 30 laps. The green flag is waving.
Hello again. It is Wing Nation presented by Sage Fruit. Talking sprint car racing, our favorite time of the week, which means this is our favorite time of the year so far. We are so glad you joined us here. Steve Post joined by my co-host, Aaron Evernham. Aaron, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Fantastic. Where do we even begin?
I don't even know.
No.
I was kind of curious how this was going to go.
Yeah,
today.
No, I mean, a lot going on. We have Justin Fiedler and Brad Doty.
So they can fill us in.
They can fill us all in on what's going on. Obviously, a lot going on. I want to right at the top, though, kind of start off with Wing Nation 2024. And it does tie into all of the angst and anxiety and drama that's going on. I've never been happier that we're not doing shows than I was during this offseason.
Me too. 100%.
I mean, just sitting back and watching and listening, and it's like, let's just sit back and watch.
Yeah.
Because we are focused on talking to racers.
Yeah.
And race car
and
drivers.
I'm going to be fully transparent and tell you that I backed away from even looking at social media about sprint car racing for a while. It was giving me, I felt like I still had a dog in the fight, and I was like getting anxiety over. I'm like, okay, this doesn't really apply to my life. Yes, I do Wing Nation.
Right.
But I just need to take a step back because there was so much angst. There's so many rumors. There was who's going where. I was like, you know what? I don't need to know. It'll all shake out.
Yeah, we don't need to know until February 5th.
Yeah,
or 6th, or whatever.
Yeah, and
is.
We'll see how it.
Yes,
we'll see how
exactly.
It plays out. It's not going to actually affect my daily life. So
right.
How about I just not pay
exactly.
So close attention?
So that's kind of. I was kind of the same way. I would touch base. I listened to Justin Fiedler every day. I listened to his show every day, and that kind of caught me up to speed. But I didn't get into the soup.
Yeah.
I didn't get into the weeds. And it's going to be fascinating. It all plays out soon. But Wing Nation 2024. This is where we're at with it. And I know a lot of you follow along here. A lot of you have watched our shows on MAV TV. We will not be on MAV TV. What we're going to do is this show will be co-hosted by three of us, Aaron, Ashley, and myself. That way you've got some things in your life that are going to take you away on Tuesdays. Ashley and I'll do the show.
Yeah.
I have some things in my life that'll take me away. Like next week, you and Ashley will do the show. There might be times we just dial up Ashley and the three of us just sit and talk.
Yep.
And it's all going to be here, wingnation.com, all of the podcast forums, Facebook, and YouTube. We're going to be all here. We are going to add some conversation, long-form conversation pieces. We are in transition in the mothership, MRN.
Yeah.
Okay. We are in our studio that we've been in for years and years. Down the road a half a mile, there are brand new shiny studios that we will ultimately move to, and there are brand new shiny podcast studios where we can have screens and sit down face-to-face with people and have conversations via Zoom or whatever the technology is. So we are going to have some conversations once we kind of get rolling into the season. And then the final element of it is my schedule is going to be a little bit more aggressive going to sprint car races. And I've got some little snippets, 3-4 minute pieces that I'm going to do when I'm at sprint car races. And those will all be on YouTube as well. So follow us on YouTube is probably the biggest and best way to do it. If you're an audio person, follow us on all of the audio streaming platforms. We will be here. We'll be breaking it all down. We'll be having a blast. So really, really fun stuff. Great stuff. So so that's where we're at with Wing Nation. Get that out of the way. Exactly. So what an off season of drama.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm with you. This is going to play out.
Yeah.
I went from scared to death for the sport to not caring to this way to that way,
yeah,
and everywhere in between. And I've settled in where stand back.
Yeah.
There's nothing any of us are going to do except for watch this.
Yep.
And when a driver wins a big race, we're going to dial them up and talk about winning that big race.
A perfect example is yesterday. I was like, you know what? I need to do some sprint car research. Wing Nation's coming back on the air tomorrow. So I'm scrolling through X or Twitter, whatever we call it these days. And I see this whole announcement about the fan experience at the High Limits races. And I start reading and I'm like, why don't we just see and wait how it goes? It was so negative. I'm like, this is why I haven't paid attention.
Exactly.
This is why.
This thing.
I'm not going to. Yeah.
High Limits is doing a fan fest in between qualifying and the heat race. You would have swore to some people.
You told them the meteor was going to strike.
Right, exactly. And that they walked into their house and robbed them while the meteor was striking. I mean, it was just like, whoa, time out.
Do I think it sounds chaotic? 100%.
Yes.
Do I think that Kyle Larson and Brad Sweet probably thought this out? Of course.
Of course.
Let's see.
Kyle and Brad have a little experience in the pits.
Yeah, a little bit.
Mike Hess, who's the overall guy that runs, he has a little experience with this. Kendra kind of knows a little bit what she's doing.
Yeah.
So let's see. Let's stay tuned. But
it was a perfect example of like, this is why I stopped paying attention.
The
so
reaction
closely.
Yesterday to the fan fest is like, what in the wide world of sports are we doing? This thing in so many instances was DOA. We're going to find out what it is.
Yeah.
This might be the greatest thing on the planet.
Might not, but at least they're trying it.
Yes, absolutely. So exactly. That's what it is. So
it was just a perfect example.
It was a perfect example of it. Exactly. So we'll see what happens. Both series are loaded.
Yeah.
Everybody, we're going to have some big races. There's a lot of money.
And we're actually going to get to see them all race together a lot because they're going to be coming to a lot of World of Outlaw races.
Yes, because there's a lot of money in the World of Outlaws. There's a lot of money in High Limits. And then here's the other thing. We early on in this thing said there's going to be 10 to 15 drivers choose one side, 10 to 15 drivers choose another side. There's 30 drivers. Okay.
Yep.
In 410 sprint car racing, there's probably 250 drivers, 300 drivers. There's plenty for us to talk to.
Yeah.
Plenty for us to talk about. Central Pennsylvania is going to be nuts as usual.
Yep.
The Midwest is going to be wild. California is through the roof. And the reality of it is there's going to be plenty to talk about. And if you want someone to get in the soup and in the mess of it, don't plan on us doing that. We're going to watch. We're going to laugh. We're going to smile. If it doesn't go well, we're going to cry. We're going to do whatever we're going to do. We are here and we'll see what happens. Now, couple of big off-season things. Okay. Kudos to, I love Logan Seavey won the Chili Bowl, Kevin and Jordan Swindell. I think that's cool. Okay. So I'm sitting at home though. Okay. I need to do a little backstory here. I have proclaimed for years and years that I don't own a television, okay? Over the holidays, my daughter, who's now in India, so I've acquired this, brought a TV downstairs into our living room. And I debated it, okay? Well, then I'm, like, watching some football games. I'm like, yeah, this isn't too bad, you know? Then we get into January, and it's like...
Well, this time of year, too.
Yes, exactly. No doubt.
It's
dark
at, like, 5 o'clock.
That thing will sit idle for months during the summer, okay? I'm not saying that. But then, so I wake up one Saturday morning or Sunday morning, and our buddy TJ, okay, TJ Slideways, I go on Twitter or X or whatever it is, and he says, well, they're racing and getting ready to go green on Flow. And I'm like, and I had added Flow and Dirt Vision to my TV downstairs, my smart television. So I'm like, whoa, this is cool. And this actually plays into the World of Outlaw High Limits because I wasn't watching either or drama. I was watching sprint cars on the racetrack. Yeah. And I'm like, you know, I like watching these cars going on the racetrack.
Turns out I actually don't need the drama. I just like the racing.
I don't like the drama. I like the racing. So TJ, my man, got me on this kick where I actually got to watch racing, including the Grand Annual Sprint Car Classic. And Aaron Reitzel picked up the win in that. But it was Aaron, this thing was almost like life-changing because it got me into, I love watching sprint cars go around the racetrack. And I do care that this thing succeeds, but I don't really care who goes where.
Yep.
As long as it's good for sprint car racing. And that Grand Annual Sprint Car Classic was outstanding.
Yeah, it was.
And I got to hear Wade Onger. I mean, you want to talk about bonus. So literally for the Grand Annual Sprint Car Classic, and those of you watching the video, there's goes Sheldon up into the fence. That was a mess. Okay, if you're watching the video, if you're listening on audio, sorry, we're talking about something that's playing here. But literally, like, when I knew the Grand Annual Sprint Car Classic that morning, I mean, literally got up, omelet.
Yeah.
I mean, I did the full-blown breakfast, and I sat there, and I loved
it. That's awesome.
I thought it was great. It is the first time I've ever gotten into Australian sprint car racing. It was just phenomenal.
Yeah.
The whole thing was great. And then to see Aaron Reitzel pick up the win. So kudos to Aaron and everybody. It was neat because he's been going over with that team for the last 3 or 4 years. And it sounds like they were all right. Then they were good. And then they were great this year.
Yeah.
So really, really good stuff. So kudos there. So stateside, well, of course, if there's days on the calendar, Pete Walton is hosting races.
Obviously.
And they are 5 races into the USCS schedule already. Ryan Timms has 2 wins, including that $10,000 Southern Sprint Car Shootout at Volusia. I love that weekend.
Yeah.
That was really cool. Other winners, Sam Hafer-Teep Jr., Austin McCarl, and Davey Franek. So that's it. And away we go.
Here we are.
And away we go. We will miss Pete Walton races before the year ends, and we'll go off the air long before he's done hosting races.
And then he'll add some.
Now Danny Smith is driving.
We have a big announcement today. He delayed the announcement.
Yeah, delayed the announcement.
Did see that.
So I'll tell you, I'm scared that he's going to do it during this time period to take all our ratings away.
I wouldn't want to miss that new scheme.
I wouldn't want to miss that new paint scheme. So we have that to look forward to as well. So, fun stuff. Hey, we need to step away. When we come back, Justin Fiedler, Dirt Tracker, DirtTracker.com, Dirt Tracker Daily. We'll talk to Justin Fiedler next.
Tony, do you even remember how to drive one of these?
It's not something you forget. You should know that. The drive to succeed, the need to win, the desire to be a champion. And we surround ourselves with partners that believe the same. Like Tony Stewart Racing, Sage Stewart strives to be the best in all they do. They work hard on the farm, in the packing facilities, and with their retail partners to provide high-quality apples and pears all year long.
You can compare apples to apples, but nothing compares to a Sage Fruit apple.
Winning quality in every bite.
My gosh, you have got to, okay, if you're listening on audio, and we love it, I'm a radio guy, I'm MRN. If you're listening on audio, thank you very much, love it. I listen to Spotify all the time. Our first guest, I listen to his show. I never watch his show, I listen to it, okay? But if you didn't see, there's a new Sage Fruit commercial with Donnie and Tony. If you saw it, you saw it, obviously. Pretty cool stuff, that is for sure. So appreciate it. Appreciate Sage Fruit being back with us again this year here on Wing Nation. Let's go to the Sage Fruit Hotline. Joining us, you can find his show Sunday through Thursday. Each day, the Dirt Tracker Daily, of course, his website, analytics, stats, news, notes, links to everything and anything on the planet. Justin Fiedler joins us. Hello, Justin. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We are fantastic. So Aaron and I started the show by bragging that we did not have to do shows from the first part of November to now. We loved it. You're a guy that did shows during that time period. This off season in sprint car racing, how do you sum it up, Aaron? Or how do you sum it up, Justin?
I mean, I don't know why you guys didn't do shows. There was so much stuff going on. There was so much to talk about all off season.
No, it was. I'll leave that to you. I want to share this. I'll get your thoughts on it as far as that goes. We were at PRI and ran into you a couple times up there, Justin, and people are telling us everything. You're getting stories. I'm getting stories. Someone comes and runs to tell me something, and 10 minutes later, you're down the hallway talking to the same person, and I know you're getting it, and I'm thinking, poor Justin, he's got to do a show about this, and I don't have to talk about it until February, so let it all sort out. Justin, the off-season, how do you sum it all up?
Very busy, a lot of moving parts, a lot of things changing and movers and shakers and all kinds of stuff. But I think we're at a good spot here. I think, you know, a lot of stuff has been settled out here in the last, especially last couple of weeks. And, you know, finally this week we get to go sprint car racing.
Yeah, seriously. Justin, I as well, when we first came on the air today, was very transparent how, you know, when all this started to happen, High Limits announced their series, they announced their schedule, the drivers were going where, and there was just a lot of negative social media. I kind of just took a step back. I didn't have to do shows, like Steve said. But when you think about when we first saw these announcements and to where we are now, how have your thoughts maybe in general changed from maybe your initial thoughts of, oh, this could be good, bad, whatever you might have thought in the beginning, adding another national series? What are your thoughts now that you see there's excitement from both sides? There's enough cars to go around. What are your thoughts as the season's just about to begin?
Well, you know, I think there were questions then. I honestly still think there are questions now, but I feel like, you know, both sides have got themselves into good positions. And I think this is just, you know, the reality that we need to, you know, be prepared for going forward, that we just have two national sprint car series now. And it's, you know, it's like you see on the late model side with the World of Outlaws and Lucas. Now we just have the World of Outlaws and High Limit on this side. I think both sides can very much continue to exist and coexist. You know, how much cooperation happens between the two sides, I mean, that will be something, you know, to be seen into the future. But I think there's a lot of excitement on both sides. I think a lot of good things are happening on both sides. I like both fields. You know, I think we're going to have, you know, a really great battle in the World of Outlaws side for the championship. And, you know, I've talked about it on my show, you know, some of the stuff at the top of High Limit. And, you know, one of my concerns, and you mentioned it there, was, you know, are we going to have enough cars here? And I actually did a show about, you know, where did all of these cars come from? Because, you know, this isn't something we've seen before. And you know, we've got guys like Rico who've never run a tour before are now out full time. We've got guys who've been pick and choose like Brent Marks now out full time. We've got some newcomers, Tanner Thorson, and you know, some of these guys that have put deals together to come out again. And you know, I think both fields are going to be good. I think it'll be interesting this week specifically because you're going to get a lot of High Limit teams that are going to run at Dirt Car Nationals. And so, you know, things, I think at Volusia will probably feel pretty normal, you know, for the number of teams and all the faces that we're going to see there. And then it'll be interesting to see, you know, going forward how both sides do, you know, in terms of car counts when they go various places. But, you know, so far I'm encouraged by both sides. I like some of the stuff that High Limit has done in terms of trying to change things and innovate a little bit. I think it's going to make World Racing Group and the Outlaws step up their game, and we've already seen some of that too. But I'm excited to see some stuff, and I'm excited to see what both sides are able to do here.
Going to be fun, that's for sure. Justin, you're the perfect person to talk to with this, and you referenced it. Okay, I am in the dirt late model world. I am fanboy. I love the dirt late models, but I don't do anything in the sport other than just sit and watch races, and I love it. You, of course, that's part of your forte, what you cover. What are the, are there parallels? Are there differences? When you look at statistics, counts, numbers, are there differences or concerns or anything between the late model with dueling national tours and what we have in the sprint car world now?
I think, you know, a big thing is, you know, there is some level of cooperation on the late model side. You know, Rick Schwally with Lucas and Steve Francis with the Outlaws, they work together a lot on rules, and, you know, they try to help each other out with the schedules. And I think eventually we need to get to that same place with the sprint car series. You know, right now, they've worked together at least on some stuff in terms of safety and some of the rules things I've heard about. But, you know, some of the other stuff we just don't quite have cooperation yet on. And I think we'll get there. I think it'll take a little bit of time for both sides to kind of figure out how this is all going to work. But I think, you know, you're going to see, you know, a lot of the, like you see on the late model side, right? You've got the big events at Eldora, right? Your big crown jewel shows where you have everybody together. And we're going to have exactly that same thing on the sprint car side, right? When we go to Eldora for the Kings Royal, when we go to the Knoxville Nationals, we're going to still have everybody. And it's interesting. I've seen this idea pop up of like, oh, they should do like a joint High Limit show. But it's like, you're going to get joint High Limit Outlaw shows all season at these big crown jewel races. And let's not forget too, that the Outlaw guys, you know, they're under some restrictions, but they still have four races that they can run outside of the Outlaw Platinum Agreement, so they can use those, you know, those freebies to go run some High Limit shows as well. So you're going to see those guys picking and choosing, you know, some of those more high paying High Limit shows to come in, like we saw David Gravel do last year, like we saw Gio Selzy do. You're still going to see that throughout the season. So, you know, you're still going to get opportunities to see everybody together, but then you're also going to have these chances to kind of see them split and who can do what they want on each side.
Absolutely. Justin, you mentioned that it's going to help maybe the World of Outlaws step up their game a little bit. They have some competition now in town. You know, when this was all first announced and first started, I was a little bit more of a doomsday person, like, oh, this is not going to be good for the sport or whatever. But now I've seemed to already notice some minor upgrades, whether they had them planned or not. The media day looked a little bit different. Some of the announcements they have coming out. What are some of the good things you see coming out of this as far as, maybe healthy competition of making sure your shows are bigger or making sure you're attracting the fans? What do you see that it's going to do for the World of Outlaws and for High Limits to make their game a little bit better?
Well, I mean, you talked about Media Day. That was a big one. I certainly liked the presentation of all of that we saw from the World of Outlaws. I would expect some things to change on the streaming side on both sides. I've heard some rumblings about some improvements to broadcast and maybe some added things coming in the future. And I know, I talked about this last season, but the World of Outlaws made and World Racing Group made a pretty significant hire, you know, in the area of streaming, a guy they kind of brought over from the UFC side of things. And he's got some pretty big time experience in terms of streaming. And I know that there are already kind of changes in the works on the Dirtvision side. So I would expect some cool improvements on that side for this season. And then, fan experience, those things are always going to be, kind of at the forefront. You saw High Limit announce yesterday their Fan Fest plans. We'll see how that goes. But I think, I think both sides are going to push each other. I think they already have pushed each other. You know, you've seen purses raise on both sides, bonus money, tow money, things like this are going to continue to get better as both sides kind of jockey and vie for drivers and for fans. But again, I feel like there's this sentiment out there that one side is going to end up winning out, one side's going to win. And I just don't think that's going to be the case. I think you're going to have, both sides coexisting. And I think there's plenty of cars and plenty of space for that to happen.
Let's talk a little bit about the upstart, the High Limit series. And you've been pretty adamant on your Dirt Tracker Daily show. Brad Sweet is a tough competitor, winning races and a points competitor. What's your kind of assessment? Is it Brad versus the world? Does someone like Rico or a Brent Marks or a Sunshine or someone, what's kind of your assessment of what we're going to see at the top of the High Limits Tour?
I mean, Brad, over the last several years, I mean, nobody championship races like Brad does, right? Like, Brad's going to win his races. The reason that Brad wins championships is Brad is just going to top five you to death. And it's just hard to keep up with him when he's top fiving you to death all season. And I think because of that, he has to be the guy right now for High Limit. I think he's definitely, the one they're all going to be chasing. I do think Rico is right in the mix there, especially with what we saw last season. Rico ran a lot of races last year. He won a lot of races last year. He went down to Australia, had some success down in Australia. And Ricky Warner and those guys, they're going to have Rico tuned up. Rico was bummed out last year, right, that he didn't win the midweek championship. And I think, if he doesn't have that flat tire to start the year at Lakeside, he might beat Kyle there for the championship, only missed out by a couple of points. I think those guys are going to be really motivated to bring the fight there. And then, behind those top two, I do like that kind of next group then, Brent Marks, Tyler Courtney. I think Corey Day could be in the mix there. Justin Peck, Zeb Wise. Like, there's a lot of talented young guys that are going to come up there and are going to try to make a name for themselves as well. I think Sunshine is an interesting one. He had a pretty hellacious season last year, even though he got injured, had a lot of wins, a lot of top fives, and had a really strong run to the end with the Outlaws last year. I think you could see that team make a significant step forward this year.
Yeah. Justin, on the flip side, talk World of Outlaws with Brad, obviously not running for the championship there, leaves the door wide open. Gravel, Macedo, you can never count Donnie out. What are your thoughts on the World of Outlaws?
I think Gravel is the favorite. I've been saying for a couple of years now that I expect Macedo to win a championship one of these years. He just wins too often. And I still don't think Philip Deese, his crew chief, gets enough credit for how good he is at what he does. So I really like that team. I think Gravel, Macedo, I think are probably your top two over there. I really like the direction Gio Selzy is heading in. I actually interviewed Dominic, his brother, over the offseason. And Gio didn't, I think he only had the one win last year, but very, very consistent. And like I just said with Brad on the other side, that consistency is what keeps you up in the mix there. I think Gio could definitely surprise some people this year. And then from there, can Donnie come back and be the Donnie we know, right? Like, we obviously know he hasn't forgotten how to drive. We saw that last year with some of his big wins. So can those guys kind of get some of that consistency back? And then from there, a guy like Buddy Kofoid, is as talented as they come. Roth has all of the support support they need and all the resources they need from Toyota, can he jump up in there and be a championship contender? I'm excited really about both sides. There's so many guys to talk about.
Really is cool. That is for sure. Fun stuff. Justin, we always talk when you come in and fill in for Aaron or Ashley along the way. We talk about your product there, Dirt Tracker, Dirt Tracker Daily, Dirt Tracker website. You've added another element to it. What are you doing? What's your plans with Rico, with the video diaries or whatever? What do you got going on with Rico?
So actually, this will be something really fun that I'm going to do this year, and I did one kind of first around his Australia racing. We're going to do these kind of periodically throughout the season, just check-ins with the team, right? You know, what have they been doing? How have they done? We're going to get, you know, opportunities to talk to the guys, to talk to Rico, to talk to Ricky Warner, his crew guys that are involved in that team as well. And I feel like, you know, trying to kind of bring fans behind the scenes with Rico. He's such an interesting guy and, you know, running his own operation and, you know, he's just so dang fast wherever he goes. And I know he's a guy that has a lot of fan interest. He's super fun to be around. He's super exciting when he's on the racetrack. And I think it'll be really cool to kind of take fans behind the scenes of what his season looks like. And we're going to have photos and we're going to have video clips and, you know, all kinds of fun stuff, kind of like what you saw with that first edition that I had done around the Western Australia Speed Week. But we're going to keep doing that all season. We're going to try some creative things and hopefully give people a cool kind of peek behind the scenes there with that team.
Fun stuff, that is for sure, and good stuff that you do all the time with Dirt Tracker. If you're not following along YouTube, all the social platforms, go on there for your analytics. If you play into the fantasy racing, the analytics are outstanding there as well. And just keep on keeping on. Justin, we appreciate you joining us and kicking things off for us here this season on Wing Nation.
Yep, I appreciate you guys having me. You guys have a good day.
There we go. Justin Fiedler leading things off here on Wing Nation. He has carved out a tremendous niche in the sport. He really, truly has done a wonderful job. And he has brought been content, sprint car racing, podcasting has been fascinating to watch this go, because when we started Wing Nation, there was Hoseheads, TJ Slideways, and IB Racing, I think it is. Brad Brown. I think that was it. And then we started the podcast stuff, and there were other podcasts out there, but we kind of took it. Dirt Vision jumped in and did their podcast. Justin and Ross did that for, and they're still doing stuff. And now, you know, everybody is in here. And I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
Because there is no way you and I could sit here for 50 hours a week and not cover every sprint car story.
Absolutely.
And this is where I love what Justin is doing, Jeremy Elliott's doing, everyone is doing out there. So kudos to Justin, and we do appreciate him joining us here to kick things off. We need to step away, because when we come back, another one of our resident experts, Brad Doty, he joins us next.
Tony, do you even remember how to drive one of these?
It's not something you forget. You should know that. The drive to succeed, the need to win, the desire to be a champion. And we surround ourselves with partners that believe the same. Like Tony Stewart Racing, Sage Stewart strives to be the best in all they do. They work hard on the farm, in the packing facilities, and with their retail partners to provide high-quality apples and pears all year long.
You can compare apples to apples, but nothing compares to a Sage Fruit apple.
Winning quality in every bite.
They want, you know, a longer off season, but yeah, it's now that the season starting up again, it seems like it's been a really short off season, and I'm excited, very excited to get things rolling this week.
Brad, we just talked to Justin Fiedler, and we kind of dissected the whole two national series and kind of went through some of that. I wanted to get your thoughts on it. You know, you've been around sprint car racing for a long time. You've seen these other national series try to start, the USA Sprints. I can't even remember half of them. And a lot of them weren't successful. But this sure feels like the High Limits is here to stay. What are your thoughts, just in general, on the two series competing for the national spotlight?
Well, I was able to listen to part of, you know, with you and Justin, and he's doing a great thing with his show, and those daily updates are really, really cool to keep up with things. And I guess I'm kind of like you, Aaron. When this thing first announced, I heard you say you were skeptical, as I was. I mean, we've seen two other
rival series try and only last the season and go away. And, you know, it seemed like a split. I don't think IndyCar's ever recovered from their split, but it does seem like, as you and Justin both had talked about, you know, it seems like that both sides are maybe a little more willing to work with each other, which is a good thing. They've got some really good ideas, and competition's never a bad thing. You know, the first thing that comes to my mind when this thing happened or the split was the All-Stars going away. That bothers me more than anything.
Yep.
The sprint cars need a feeder series, and now basically there is none. And for a lot of younger teams, or, you know, that they could run the All-Stars in a regional series, get used to traveling, get used to being and working on the car in the parking lot and living out of motels. And, and that was kind of the next step to a national series. So that to me is the biggest loss with the split. But, you know, like I said, they've got some good ideas and we'll see. The Lucas late models, obviously, in the World of Outlaws have been two series, and there's plenty of cars. And two sprint car series might survive. My biggest issue, I guess, is, two things. The World of Outlaws, obviously, the history's there. You hear a lot of drivers say they, you know, it's been their goal since they were, you know, childhood to win a World of Outlaws championship. So if High Limit sticks around and they make it, then, you know, down the road, that might be just as important. But, you know, the World of Outlaws has history to it, and you know, we'll just see at the end. I just feel like, even like in that late model world, as you guys both talked earlier, you and Justin, and about both sides getting together for the big event. So the fans do get to see everybody, but my question is, if there's only one series every night, the fans know that they're seeing the best in the world, you know. Mm-hmm. Now they got to pick and choose on where they go and where they spend their money, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. That is the challenge. That is the question there, where you were in the past, you knew that. Brad, where were you at when those splits took place? Were you in the middle of it? Where were you at when that was going on?
Well, when the first happened with the USA, it was basically about a year after I got hurt.
Okay.
After my injury.
I thought so. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I kind of got put in the middle of that. I knew people, obviously I knew Ted and the World of Outlaws side, and I knew some people on the USA side, and, you know, kind of like now some of the people from the World of Outlaws got hired by USA and that kind of thing. It was always tough, you know, to be in the middle of all that. So I guess I'm kind of lucky in a way that, you know, I'm not a competitor at any of these splits. You know, I'm just a fan or someone who's, you know, lucky to had a TV career, but didn't have to make those decisions on picking or choosing a side.
Yeah.
Brad, on the promotional side, you know, you obviously have your Brad Doty Classic every year, so you have some knowledge in this part of it. The World of Outlaws have been producing races and promoting races for, I forget how many years now, but the long history you talked about. High Limits had 1 year of midweek races, right? It was just 1 year. And we saw their car counts drop, really, as the season went on. When you look at what they have to do this year to be at the level that they say they're going to be at, what do you see some of the challenges being? I mean, there's infrastructure that has to go to these races. They still have a lot to prove. You know, it sounds great on paper what they want to do and what we have coming up. But it seems to me that there's still a lot of unknowns on actually the production and how things will come off. You know, the results will be.
Yeah, as they say, time will tell, won't it? Mm-hmm. A lot of money being spent on their side, it looks like. And, you know, like I said, I got to be careful because I don't want to put down either side. But, you know, can that money continue? Are the results going to be there? Is the streaming audience going to be there that they're expecting and that kind of thing to help push this thing along? So, you know, that's the big key, I guess, is you know, hopefully it can continue. It has raised the purses in a lot of ways, and the fans, you know, well, let me back that up. You know, as a promoter, you know, the purses have gone up on the World of Outlaws side, and that comes out of our pocket as a promoter. So, you know, we're fortunate. We have some great sponsors, and, you know, we can absorb some of that. But, you know, it's great for the racers. And as a driver, I would love it. As a promoter, you know, I question it, but it is what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to go to the other extreme. Not the other extreme, per se, but another side of sprint car racing. We've talked about national tours and what that's going to do. Yesterday, or the day before, Attica, which is the track mm-hmm. you partner with for your event, announced a purse mm-hmm. increase. And Brad, this just blows my mind. Their purse alone on a weekly show, this is not a special. This is a weekly show. Their purse alone, $27,800. Mm-hmm. Now that is nothing as far as insurance, nothing as far as payroll, nothing advertising, nothing lease, nothing no profit or anything like that. The weekly pro and Brad, there's a lot of this stuff. You probably know numbers and don't share anything you don't want to share with us. But I respect that. I respect your spot with us. But my gosh, they have got to rely on $35,000 or $40,000 to come in every Friday night at Attica just to make this work. What's your take on the status of weekly shows and sprint cars?
Well, first thing that comes to mind is the promoter at Attica, John Boris, is a huge race fan.
Yeah,
and he's always giving back. You know. Even, you know, before the Brad Doty Classic went back to Attica, you know, he paid all the top 10 or 12 in points, their membership to the World of Outlaws. And, you know, and he's always trying to give it back to the racers. And, you know, the new director of operations, Justin Liskai, who's going to work with Rex Lejeune next season to get his feet wet and stuff. They all got together and decided to up the purses. And yeah, it's kind of scary for them that it takes a lot of money just to break even. Part of that and is I mentioned earlier about losing the All-Stars. I mean, you guys both know because you're sprint car fans that, you know, a lot of the All-Stars series ran in the Midwest with a lot of shows in Ohio.
Yep.
So losing the All-Stars, even though it's still not that feeder system that I spoke about earlier for teams to travel and kind of get their feet wet there, is Ohio, Fremont, some of the tracks have, or Attica and Fremont, some of the tracks have decided to, you know, we put a lot of money in the All-Star races and let's try to up the ante, so to speak, with our local Friday nights and have some big self-promoted big shows, non-sanctioned big shows, and still have maybe get some teams to come in, even though it's a non-sanctioned event. You know, money brings cars and teams, and hopefully with the cars and teams brings the fans.
Man, I'm telling you, wow, that is a lot. That is for sure. The Brad Doty Classic. Can folks get tickets? I know you're not watching the weather app. We'll talk to you later in the year about your weather.
He's already
app
looking
watching.
At the almanac.
We'll talk to you later in the year. But how are things progressing for your race coming up in July, Brad?
Really, really well. Yeah, people can go to Attica tickets. Reserve tickets are on sale. They can go to AticaRacewayPark.com or the World of Outlaws website and go through their schedule, sprint car schedule, and scroll down to July 16th at Attica and click on there and buy tickets. So again, Attica Raceway Park, they're available. They've been available for a while and tickets are going well. And I'm really, really proud of that. But if I have time real quick, I want to go back to Aaron's question about, you know, all these teams and with high limit, they've got a huge roster. And Aaron, you brought up about the weekly stuff,
mm-hmm.
the teams falling off toward the end.
Yeah.
That's going to be the interesting part. Right now, there's a ton of great talent signed up, but we'll see by June or July, or when they start traveling further and further west, how many teams stick it out, kind of thing. And they know, they know they're going to lose a few. So, you know, we'll see where they go, if they end up pick and choose, or they go back, maybe run the Outlaws. That's going to be interesting come, say, around midsummer.
Yeah.
That's a really good point. That's a great point, actually. Appreciate. Yeah, that's good stuff. Yeah. I'm glad you doubled
back.
Even
if you think about you know, Jacob and what happened last July, August, when people just,
last July and August, everyone got burned out too. Yeah. So we have that as well. Brad, it is always a pleasure to catch up with you. Appreciate you taking some time with us and sharing your vast insight into the sport. And we wish you well, and look forward to catching up with you at a racetrack coming up soon.
Okay, one last thing, Steve. I have Amish neighbors that probably have TVs stashed in a corner somewhere, so it's about time you get a TV.
Brad, I'm rolling right into the 70s. I'm rolling right straight into the 70s, full speed ahead, you know? So, exactly.
Yep.
Up and running. I appreciate that. Thanks, Brad.
All right, thanks. Thanks, guys.
You got it. Brad Doty, the great Brad Doty, joining us here. The Attica thing really struck me as interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. It would have been the late 80s, maybe 90. I was working at Pencan Speedway, where Ray Evernham picked up a win in one of Ray Evernham's Grace Victory Lane. I was working for a guy named Stuart Rice at Pencan Speedway. And he called me and says, meet me Tuesday night at Beaver's Diner. That's where we met. It was a little restaurant right there in Halstead, Pennsylvania. And he says to me, Steve, I want you to take over Pencan.
Mm.
And I'm like, woo, man, don't, you know. And so we chit-chatted about it and everything like that. He was going to go to the owner of the racetrack and say, this is what we're doing. We're not putting this out there. We're just going to announce Steve is taking over.
Yeah.
And man, you want to talk about heartburn. I mean, you know. And I said, well, Ricey, what are you, and Ricey was an older guy. I says, what are you, why are you doing this? He said, Steve, every Friday night, I put $16,000 in a bag, and it's gone.
Yeah.
And I have to hope that $16,001 come in through the grandstands, through the pits, through the concession stand. And I'm just like, whoa, man, I'll tell you what, you think about it. And he said, Steve, my house is paid for, my cars are paid for, I can live the rest of my life on one night, and every Friday night, I'm putting $16,000. I can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there. Now, fast forward to this, and this is where this really struck me. 27.8, again, it's got to be $35,000 to $40,000 to make this work.
To cut even,
so every Friday night, John Borse and the gang at Attica is saying, $38,000, and I hope $38,001 come back.
Yeah. You know, has been one thing I found interesting, or I'm curious about, is across the board in sprint car racing, the purses have been raised, which is, like Brad said, if you're a driver, great. If you're a team owner, great. You're getting some money back. But where is this money coming from?
Yeah.
You know, is it's the streaming, but doesn't sound like the streaming is really supplying. Who knows? But I'm curious. Like, you think about when he talked about Attica, is like, man, that is a lot on the track owners.
Man, that's a weekly Friday night track. That's not your Brad Doty Classic or your, I mean, man, I'll tell you what, and kudos to him, Dave up at Atomic, he chimed in on some of my social media and he says, you're talking 30 to 40 grand a night is what you're talking to run.
But
run.
You got to increase the purse if you want the people to come.
Exactly. So. It's like, oh boy, the key is go out and support your local racetrack. Go support them. And while you're there, buy a hot dog, a box of popcorn, and a soda pop. We need to step away. More Wing Nation in just a moment.
Tony, do you even remember how to drive one of these?
It's not something you forget. You should know that. The drive to succeed, the need to win, the desire to be a champion. And we surround ourselves with partners that believe the same. Like Tony Stewart Racing, Sage Pruitt strives to be the best in all they do. They work hard on the farm, in the packing facilities, and with their retail partners to provide high-quality apples and pears all year long.
You can compare apples to apples, but nothing compares to a Sage Fruit apple.
Winning quality in every bite.
Wing Nation, presented by Sage Fruit, rolling along. We appreciate Justin Fiedler and Brad Doty joining us on the Sage Fruit Hotline. Always like to take time and a nod to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. Yesterday would have been the birthday of Ted Johnson, Mike Arthur. Today, Ralph Speedy Helm, Larry Sullivan, Bill White, Jimmy Oskey, Gene Lynch, Alex Morales, Jan Opperman, Fred Offenheiser coming up. But want to take this time to talk about the Sprint Car Hall of Fame and their upcoming Class of 34 induction. Aaron, what a great, great class they have for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. Drivers, Tracy Hine, 91 overall wins in USAC, a Triple Crown winner. John Stambro, 191 Sprint Car wins, one of the true outlaw drivers. And our buddy Paul McMahon, 21 World of Outlaw wins, two-time Short Track Nationals. Really cool to see Paul McMahon. See that trio of drivers.
The trio, all three of them are so deserving. It was neat to see the social media around it. You know, I could tell from Paul's tweets how excited he was, and then Jan, and just the whole, really, the sprint car community was, everyone was so excited for Paul. He's such a great guy.
Yeah, he really is. He's just one of our great ambassadors of the sport. Yep. And had a chance to catch up with Paul at PRI briefly and chat with him, and he just is always the same, and that's great. Just always good. When we talk about owners, Greg, our owners, mechanic builders, Greg Deuce Terrill, he is a longtime mechanic. Mm-hmm. Man, this guy, did you know?
Yeah, yep. Deuce to help our sprint cars back in upstate New York, Ohio, yeah.
Wow. Gosh, that's awesome. And some guy named Ricky Warner. Boy, we could go on and on about this guy.
He has a few accomplishments.
Yes, he does. Absolutely amazing. I didn't realize this, that your husband hired Ricky at one time and went NASCAR racing with
him. He did. Yeah, actually, when I first signed with Ray and did some Busch racing and ARCA racing, he was the crew chief on the Busch car that we had.
Wow.
The Hungry Helpers. It was the whole thing with Unilever and Casey Kane. But yeah, Ricky was on that car when I first moved down here.
That is neat. Neat stuff. So Ricky Warner, Promoter Officials Media, Mark Bones Borsier and Bill Holder. Did you ever cross paths with either of those guys?
Bones for sure, and still am friends with him on social media and love his updates and his. But yes, both again very deserving.
Yeah, Bones, he's just great. Yeah. I didn't realize this. I was reading his bio that we both started with Gator Racing News.
Oh wow!
That was how both of us got started.
Used with to Gator get the Racing old News. Gator Racing News love, back in the
gotta
day.
Gotta get a Gator. And pre 1970, Roy Robbins. First Knoxville Nationals winner, won at 11 different states in the 50s and 60s, and was just a great, great race car driver. So that induction ceremony will be Saturday, June 1st, at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, One Sprint Car Place, Knoxville, Iowa. Aaron, the wait is over. I mean, we are ready to go. I started the show. I saw some Chili Bowl. I saw some Australia. Pete Walton's been racing, but it is
And
time.
I did see Ashley Stremme's husband picked up a Gator.
Yes, Ashley Stremme. Yes, yeah. Exactly. David picked up a Gator. Yeah. How about that?
Steele got himself a Gator.
Yes, absolutely. So kudos to Ashley and David. They're down there running their modified all this week.
Yep.
And then she'll be here next week with you.
Yep.
Because I'll be in the air headed on that way.
Ladies' Day.
Yes, Ladies' Day. Here we go. Batting down the hatches. All right. World of Outlaw NOS Energy Drink Sprint Cars season opener. They're Gator hunting down there at Volusia, the Dirt Car Nationals. It starts tomorrow night, although they do have testing and practice tonight. Wednesday through Friday, $12,000 to win. Saturday, $20,000 to win. The reigning champ, Logan Schuhart. And Schuhart could be tough this year as well.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be awesome. You can follow it all on Dirt Vision. It is really, really going to be good. It's going to be so great to have Dirt Vision on. I am so pumped about this.
Yes, me too.
Oh, man. I scheduled something last night at 8:30. Tomorrow night at 8:30. What an idiot.
Plans are off.
Well, I'll just mute the TV and do it, okay? A podcast, which is cool. It's a neat thing. High Limits, they start next week. The Battle at the Bay at East Bay, Monday night, $10,000 to win. And Tuesday night, $15,000 to win. Flow Racing is where that's at. And East Bay, it's been rumored for the last 15 years, but I do believe this is the end this year.
Oh, okay.
I do believe this is the end this year of East Bay. So we have Wednesday through Thursday of the Outlaws and Monday and Tuesday of on Flow Racing of the High Limits. USCS is at Southern Raceway in Milton, Florida, and the Top Gun Series is in Clewiston, Florida at Henry County Speedway. There you have it.
There it is.
Woo!
Day one in the books.
We will have race-winning drivers next week. You will have race-winning drivers next week. You and Ashley will be here next week. Going to have fun. But it's going to be an exciting season. So, again, you can follow along on all our social channels, Twitter, Facebook. Facebook, we have a page and a group. And you can follow along with either or both of those. And then YouTube is probably where everything ultimately is going to end up going. I mean, it's going to be Facebook. It's going to be wingnation.com. It's going to be all the platforms. But YouTube will have, I think, everything we're doing across the board. So going to be a fun season, that is for sure. And can't wait. Can't wait. Always good.
Yep. Good to be back.
Favorite time of the week. There you have it. She's Erin Evernham. I'm Steve Post. Thanks for joining us this time on Wing Nation, presented by Sage Fruit.
Hey everyone, it's Kyle Busch. At Cheddar's, you get a variety of American classics in a place that feels like home. They have comfort food like hand-breaded chicken tenders, homemade chicken pot pie with nearly a half a pound of roasted chicken under that golden flaky crust, slow-smoked baby back ribs so big they're falling off the plate, all for unbeatable prices. And the best part? A free honey butter croissant for every guest. Now that's how they do it. Cheddar's. Get a lot for not a lot.